Hello, you're listening to Read Comics.
We still exist.
We're alive. This is our 50th podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yay, woo! We have Susie in attendance today.
Yes, I'm actually in the state, in the room.
Yeah. We brought her out for the 50th podcast.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
completely flew her in.
First class, actually.
That's how special she is to us.
Yeah. So, and then I'm Marty.
I'm Florence.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Susie.
And we also have Colleen with us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she'll say hi.
Yeah, she is in a dramatic mood, so we may hear from her.
Right, I think she will decide when she wants to interject.
Okay.
She's waving now
yeah.
at the screen.
Hi. So we were just talking about Spring Con, which is the antithesis of Fall Con.
I don't know that antithesis is the right word.
Are they put on by the same people?
Yes.
Oh, so
Midwest
really
Comic
fight.
Book Association.
They're
they should totally
more
fight.
Companions, actually.
Yeah.
Companion
Spring Con is in about a month, May 21st and 22nd, at the State Fairgrounds.
And Jessica Abel.
Hey.
Jessica Abel is going to be there.
You know, not Jessica Alba.
No, Jessica Abel. Who wrote the book? Co-wrote the book.
Life Sucks.
Life Sucks.
That.
But she wrote that. But she co-wrote
How to Draw. No, How to Write Pictures
she,
and How to Draw
Writing
Words.
Writing pictures and drawing words.
Or how to.
It wasn't how to.
It could have been.
Just, it's a
like,
how to.
It
book.
Is a how to.
Yes.
We almost read that book.
We started.
Well, I read Life Sucks, and I've read several of her issues of Art Babe and her This American Life comic.
Oh, she has a This American Life?
Yeah. Oh, quite a long time ago, she collaborated with the Ira Glass, and they did
I've
issue.
Read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Issue of how This American Life is made.
Cool.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We have that as well, and we've all read Life Sucks, even if we don't remember it.
Yes.
I remember it.
Oh, okay. Colleen hasn't read it.
No, Colleen has not read it. That's probably why she's so upset.
Yeah, she's like, why?
And also,
Empire Fiction I haven't read.
Roberta Gregory is going to be there, which is kind of neat. Do you guys know who Roberta Gregory is?
Bitchy Bitch,
yes. So, anyway, I'm sure that a bunch of us will at least go and spend a little bit of time at Spring Con.
Mm.
And, you know, I was also looking up just now the Minneapolis Indie Expo, which the three of us went to last year, Marty and Florence and I, which was a lot of fun, but it looks like the second one is going to be November 5th and 6th. It's not going to be in the summer.
Mm.
It's going to be in November.
That was a very drafty space if they use the same one.
Is it
well,
be the same space?
Yeah, at the Soap Factory. It was very warm, I thought, in some of the areas. I was all like melty and stuff.
And I remember it smelled like
yes.
animals.
And isn't that just a week after the Soapbox Factory's big Halloween thing?
It is.
Mm. So last year, the big Halloween thing had smells as part of. Yeah.
Really?
So
smells
awesome.
Like the theme of Indie Expo.
Indie Expo is always going to smell gross. I don't know.
Interesting.
This weekend was MiniCon.
It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went?
We all went to that. Has nothing to do with comics.
Well,
some people there like comics, and some
Mini-Con
people there write comics.
MiniCon is our local, one of our local science fiction conventions.
It's
science
the
fiction
oldest
fantasy.
And longest running.
In the Twin Cities.
In the Twin Cities.
I don't think in the world.
No.
It's but in the
40,
Twin Cities.
5 years, 46
This was
years.
MiniCon 46.
46.
And it was also the 20th anniversary of my first MiniCon.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It was the 5th anniversary of my first MiniCon.
It was the 0 anniversary of my first MiniCon.
It was
my it first was mini.
Your first MiniCon.
Yeah.
Was it Colleen's first MiniCon?
No.
She was there.
Year.
She was
yeah.
there last year.
It's her second MiniCon.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And she had a good time. They had some kids' activities that she got to play.
And impromptu kids' activities that just involved her and other kids running around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She also saw the, there was the tail end of, what are they called? The bubble machines. They were
mm-hmm.
really cute.
Yeah, the bubble machines were
yeah.
pretty fun. I would have liked to play with that.
as we left MiniCon today,
mm-hmm.
We were talking with some of the people who run Anime Detour.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talked about there was that one of their themes coming up for next year is the manga was better. So it'll be Anime Detour 2012, the manga was better.
Which is...
funny.
Yes, funny, because, yeah, that's the common harangue of comic fans and other fans of stuff, is that the book is always better than
yeah,
the movie.
For sure.
Or
well,
the TV show.
And something I wanted to talk about briefly is that I have been reading quite a bit of manga lately from the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I have discovered that it can be a little frustrating getting into some of these series being put out by certain publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And then... partway into the series, it just stops. Because the publisher has decided that they're not selling enough, whatever. And unless I want to learn Japanese, I'm kind of done. Although apparently in some of the dark corners of the internet, you can find some of these comics translated in other ways. There's one in particular called Beck, Mongolian Chop Squad, which is a music manga.
About Beck?
No. It's about a band named
okay.
Beck.
Interesting.
They're a Japanese band. And it's a very interesting comic. It was published by Tokyo Pop, which now pretty much everything being put out by Tokyo Pop is going to be done because Tokyo Pop went out of business. Not completely out of business. Here's what they did. Tokyo Pop's U.S. Business closed up shop out in L.A. However, they still have a European something, an office in Europe open, which has to do with their licensing section.
Okay.
So what they're doing is they have stopped publishing manga, but they're not returning the rights to the creators in case,
sucky.
You know, someone else wants to buy the rights from them or perhaps put out a movie or something like that.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lame.
There's got to be something in some of these contracts that that the creators can get out of this. There's got to be something.
Well, I know that, I mean, there's not a lot you can do when your book is optioned. And then they sit on it, as happens 90% of the time. So, maybe not, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like that. Now, eventually, you know, usually, in the case of the options anyway, usually they expire at some point. There's,
yeah.
You know, it's like a 10-year option, or it's a 5-year option, or something like that. But now she says hi.
Hi.
Another thing we talked about with some of those organizers, Jason now is a convention organizer.
I am a convention organizer,
and
yes.
So he gets to hang
which
out
which everyone
with
knows this
because
I've been talking about Galaxicon for the past several years
yeah.
on the podcast, which is coming back to the Twin Cities in 2012. And we have a comic book writer. We have two comic book writers, actually, who
coming
are going
to
be
at Galaxicon.
Yeah, because Gary Russell writes comics.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the initial run of the Doctor Who comic featuring David Tennant.
Oh, wait, so what year was that? Okay, this is a separate conversation that we're going to have this in 5 minutes. I wanted to say first that we were talking to them, and I specifically called out comic book conventions as not being nearly as cool as sci-fi conventions. And... mostly because they just don't have panels. They don't have the programming.
When you say talking to them, who do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. Some of the organizers that Jason knows.
Me. Me and Anton and Kale. Anton and Kale are respectively guest relations and chair of Anime Detour.
And then
there was there someone else there?
Yeah. But I don't remember who it was. Anyway, so we were talking about how, you know, at science fiction conventions, you get to sit down and watch these creators talk about their works and talk about, you know, stuff. And at comic book conventions, you might see them behind their table
signing.
We have seen
Warren
yeah,
Ellis.
Yeah,
we,
Warren,
yeah, okay. No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all. I'm saying
Kirkman,
the vast majority.
Like, we only read Walking Dead because we saw Kirkman
okay,
speak
right.
very charismatically.
Yes,
all right,
fine.
What you're saying is that the comic book conventions in the Twin Cities suck.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think part of it is, and I haven't been to many sci-fi or comic book conventions, so I can't really say this, but I think it all depends on the size, and for the most part, the comic book conventions are better at marketing, so they draw a larger attendance, and so therefore you get less time with the creators, you get less, you know, we at
the
Minicon, yeah, at Minicon, there weren't that many people, and there were several creators, and you could go, and you could talk to them, you could run into them at the hall, and the size of the room was very small, the panels, everybody really, you know, if you wanted to pay it to ask a question, you could. And then, like, with things like Wizard World and other conventions I've been to, it's just, there's so many people, there's so much, you know, who want to speak to the creator if they can. The rooms for the panels are enormous, so, you know, maybe a fraction of the people there are going to be able to ask a question before the time is over. So I think it's just the fact that the comic book conventions have become such a big business and so been so good at drawing people in that's why.
Well,
I think the
emphasis is different. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got these ginormous halls full of
dealers
and booths that you can, you know, sell your shit at. And I mean, I think that's the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And they are pricing them so that they can get people in the door. I mean,
it's true.
Wizard World is maybe, you know,
it was,
what
25,
30 or
20, 30.
Yeah, it might have even been cheaper than that. But I mean,
and if you want to get a one-day pass, it's even cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a sci-fi convention, usually you're talking minimum 25, more like, you know, you think Minicon was 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
So
60 if you got it at the door.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of a different,
mm-hmm.
you know, emphasis.
A different vibe. But I mean, even at the comic book conventions, if you go to things like Artist Alley, for the most part, you aren't going to meet, you know, the big writers. You aren't going to meet the big artists, but you are going to meet some really cool.
But that's what I'm saying
artists,
is I don't want to meet them. I don't want to shake their hand. I don't want to buy, you know,
mm-hmm.
their latest comic. Although I probably do.
Yeah.
But I want to see
buy
them.
Too many of them. Actually,
yeah, exactly. I want to see them talk about their work, and
mm-hmm.
and you can ask them about their work at an
mm-hmm.
Artist Alley, but
you kind of
want a
panel situation where you might have a moderator,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And where they actually have a forum where it's not like, oh, let me talk to you for 2 seconds until the next person walks up.
Yeah.
You know?
To pitch
mm-hmm.
you this particular
right.
Style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, they still they do have those kind of panels.
Like the Warren Ellis panel,
yeah.
and the Rob
no,
Kirkman panel.
For sure they do. I just think that's the exception rather than the focus.
And
you're
right that the local conventions, SpringCon and FallCon, haven't had a lot of that.
Right.
And again,
they do
that
have
one is also priced. I mean, I think it's $10 to get
yeah.
in.
Yeah, exactly.
But you and I, we go there. We maybe spend an hour, if that. Maybe two.
Right.
Hanging out with our friends.
Right.
As our friends are going through every
bin
in the place. And then we take off because there's nothing else to do there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not a weekend long event like Minicon or Convergence where you possibly consider getting a hotel room and staying out there for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And even Wizard World was held in a convention center, not at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially after, you know, the dealer's room closes, there's no gathering place, there's no room parties, there's nothing like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think, you know, if I eventually throw PrismCon, which I want to throw someday.
Ooh.
Have I told you about my idea for PrismCon? Basically, it's a gay comic book
convention.
Do
they know about this?
Awesome.
Does Prism know?
Well, I mean, I could do it in association with them, but it doesn't have to be, you know. I just think it's a good name.
Right. Well, I think you might have
I
to.
Should. I should.
Because,
well, do they have it trademarked? I don't know.
I have to guess. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm sure they have Prism Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, I mean, I think it would be a great idea. There's enough gay comic fans, gay comic creators,
Just be careful how you market it so you don't people don't get it mistaken for Prison Con.
Prison Con.
that could draw a crowd you want. It could not.
Prism.
Prism. Yes.
Prism Con. And I would want it to be more of a focus on the creators and giving them the kind of forum that you're talking about. And also have it in a hotel rather than just a space like a convention center. So that you could have evening events and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And hookups.
What?
And hookups.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure that, you know, there are not some of these comic creators that maybe Susie linked to not too long ago.
yeah, check out that post because it had some very interesting content.
Yes, and if anybody else wants to contribute who they think is the most attractive male comic creator, go right ahead.
Or female.
I specifically chose to do male just because it's more novel within comic books to objectify men. and I found it funny.
Yeah.
It was funny.
But, you know, when you go to Wizard World, and I've talked about this before, and you know that certain artists are gay,
mm-hmm.
and yet what they're drawing and putting up on the walls
mm-hmm.
is big boobed females because they are
expecting
that 90% of the people that come through are teenage boys
mm-hmm.
or 20-year-old or 30-year-old boys. It's still emphasis on the boy part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, but I think there's a place for it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
I think that could be very successful.
And then we also talked a little bit with these people about the idea of having a webcomics convention.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
And I'm sure there are lots of webcomic artists out there who want more exposure. And...
Well, there are a couple at Indie Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And we actually remarked that Indie Expo is
yeah.
a little bit
mm-hmm.
kind of like a webcomics.
And I think there have been webcomic conventions. I just don't think they're as big or as common. I know a webcomic I follow called Sister Claire. I'm pretty sure she's been to one or two before she mentioned.
Yeah.
But she's
overseas.
I'm specifically talking
about a webcomics convention in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's European. So
I've never heard of one, and it's worth Googling. I mean... I haven't even done that. So
I think I've heard of things like Webcomics Weekend in New England.
Okay.
So there definitely have been webcomic conventions
sure.
before.
But yeah, having them.
Having one here
would
be kind of awesome.
Really cool.
Because I can't see myself traveling to a webcomic convention.
Yeah.
So
have them come to you.
Exactly. Have them come to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and so I was speaking about Gary Russell being our one of our guests of honor for. Gay Lexicon. No, really, Gary's a very nice person. Although many people do have that reaction when he's in the room. In fact, sometimes Gary has that reaction, I think. But Wendy Peeney is also one of our guests of honor. Wendy Peeney, who is the co-creator with Richard Peeney of ElfQuest.
Yeah.
So
there was that recent... There's a trailer on the internet that we've now talked about today.
Do we have a link to that on the...
I didn't put up a link just because I didn't think my comments were
okay.
constructive. So I didn't put it up, but I'll put up a link and maybe I'll...
Well, maybe put up a link to the ElfQuest website
uh-huh.
as well.
Okay. Because,
you know, ElfQuest... I think ElfQuest is quite good, actually.
Yeah, I'm not dogging on the comic at all because I really haven't read it. I don't really know anything about it. I just... the fan trailer that we saw that we talked about, I just thought it was cheeserific, and I'm sure it's actually incredibly like a labor of love on Heart of Plans. That's why I didn't put up it because I didn't want to be.
If you can't say anything
yeah,
nice.
Exactly. Yeah, but it really
especially
does
for
look
people
like
doing things for free.
Uh-huh, yeah. And especially it looks like they really, really were trying to stay faithful to the comic, and I think that was the problem with the trailer in that. They tried to translate the look of the comic completely faithfully into live action, and
uh-huh.
the look of the comic is so dated that it just didn't translate in a way that looked good, in my
opinion.
Because the elves, their hair were kind of all teased out and curled and glam, and they had, lots of eye makeup,
yeah.
And they had these Ren Faire costumes on that just seemed really silly.
Hmm.
The other issue was that the trailer was full of, like, these just very poignant looks to the camera.
That was the whole trailer. I mean,
there was also a mean woman and a dog and somebody braiding one of the elves' hair. And then somebody else threatening to cut their hair.
There was no context at all.
I'm sure this is incredibly faithful to the book. I just don't think it's necessarily a good thing.
Well, one of the things about the actual book itself is that for people who aren't familiar with ElfQuest, because ElfQuest is kind of out of the public consciousness a little bit, is that Wendy has put the entire run of ElfQuest, every single issue of ElfQuest, online to be read for free.
Just had a little break to soothe the crying baby, and then Jason got to watch the ElfQuest fan trailer, and he's the one who actually read a lot of ElfQuest here, so he can have more to say about it with a little more knowledge of what it's meant to be.
It's tough. I mean, I read them a while ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple years since I have read any ElfQuest, and I recognize the characters as ElfQuest characters, but I couldn't remember their names.
Mm-hmm.
All the costume and makeup was done very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
There really needed to be a bit more story in the trailer, I think, to get people to maintain interest, be interested in it. Although I think Marty might have found some things to hold his attention
trailer. There were some lingering shots of panting women, and some also implied girl-on-girl action.
And I
think she was just dreaming, personally.
Hmm?
The woman that was...
I think she was supposed to be dreaming, but there was also several shots of girls sort of longingly
Well, all the looks were longing.
That
was the problem.
Yes, there were a lot of just shots at the camera.
The distance, it was still like they were having sex with the distance.
You know what? When Wendy Pini is here for Gay Lexicon, you can ask her all kinds of questions.
See, this is, again, why I didn't want to post this on, too, because I really do want to, it seems like a real labor of love. It seems like the people who did it really ElfQuest.
If you guys give ElfQuest a shot, especially since it's free on our website, and you can read, a few of the issues from the beginning, I really got captivated by it.
Like I said, I have nothing to say about the comic because I've not read it. I just, the trailer did not make me want to read it. Made me want to laugh. I feel bad because they spent a lot of time and probably money of their own to do it. And
I mean, we also
applaud that in its
own right. For every comic book movie that's out there,
mm-hmm.
We have good ones, we have not so good ones. For every Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, we have a Spider-Man 3. For every X-Men and X-Men 2, we have an X-Men 3.
That being said, I totally giggled my ass off at the Ryan Reynolds' feet in his Green Lantern costume.
Oh, that's scary.
That's frightening.
I'm so excited for it.
Are you?
And that
you
was
Green
not
Lantern.
Fan-made, and that was real money being spent on that, that they expect to make back. So that I'm going to laugh at out loud and not feel guilty about.
Yeah, and that's exactly there.
I do not expect it to be good. And I have no idea whether it'll see success or not, but...
Well, this might be a good time that we can also plug the Film Confessional podcast, because when Thor comes out...
Because it's the one that Jason actually does.
Read comics and Film Confessional will be joining forces once again to watch and review Thor.
Yeah, I have very low expectations for Thor.
I'm going to that just for the beefcake factor, I think.
They did choose, sufficiently beefcakey rather than, like, muscly kind of dude, mm-hmm. I thought.
I think the trailer made it look a lot better than
the
I was
trailer,
expecting.
The trailer for Thor looked better than the trailer for Green Lantern to me.
Of course, my Thor is Vincent D'Onofrio.
My Thor is Eric Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Do you know who, what I'm talking about?
Or
Vincent
Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
True Blood, Eric. Yes.
Do you know what I'm referring to when I say
yeah,
Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah, yeah.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I
crazy.
Even, the first time I'd ever heard of Thor.
He doesn't look anything, Vincent D'Onofrio doesn't look anything like that anymore. So.
But yeah, that was the first time I'd ever even heard of what a Thor was by watching that movie and the little girl that was obsessed with Thor. And
mm-hmm.
So, oh, Thor has long blonde hair and carries a hammer. Okay,
yep,
got it.
So, should we talk a little bit about what we've been reading? We've been talking about what
hold
we've
on.
Been doing. Oh, you want
to... I'm going to go back. Do you remember
okay.
when I said there was something else that I wanted to talk about? I just wanted to grill you, and we haven't done this off podcast either. But it occurred to me that that there's this whole world, or maybe there's not. I don't know of Doctor Who comic books.
Oh yeah.
And with the recent, you know, like Doctor Who has just come back on the air, and we watched
last
it.
Night.
Yeah, we watched it last night, and
which reminds me, I need you to fill this up.
I see. As he hands me a
totally legal
USB
device.
Drive.
Let's move on.
okay, so Doctor Who comics. Well, here's the thing. There have been Doctor Who comics since the 60s.
Yeah, that's kind of what
types.
I thought. Okay, so there's a whole world.
Yeah, there are weird comics that are really not part of continuity where the first Doctor and the second Doctor had two small grandchildren younger than Susan that traveled with him. Whose names I can't remember.
When you say small, like how old?
I mean like
kids,
8 and 9 year olds, yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in like TV action comics and stuff. And then there were the
wish fulfillment for the kids who were watching it at the time.
Yep, there were comics that were in Doctor Who magazine throughout its entire run, which got published in the US by Marvel Comics as standalone comics.
Oh, interesting.
And then with the new series coming out, IDW.
And was that more? Were those more comic strips, or were they actual like?
Well, in the magazine, what you had was you had like 3 or 4 pages of a comic.
So not strips.
Not strips.
Okay.
It was like 3 or 4 pages of the magazine was the part of one story.
Sure.
And in the next issue, you'd have
the rest of the story.
Another
or
part.
Some part of it.
Yeah, it was serialized that way.
Yeah.
And also, when Doctor Who magazine started, it was a weekly magazine as well, so it was easy to have that kind of continuity.
Okay.
And
is there still a weekly Doctor Who magazine?
There is now a monthly Doctor Who magazine.
Okay.
Doctor Who Adventures, I'm not sure if Doctor Who Adventures is weekly, but that is a comic, or that is a magazine that is for young readers of the 10-year-old variety.
Okay.
And it has a comic in it, which is very much a comic for the 10-year-olds. At one time, I asked Gary at a convention, Gary Russell, who actually signs off on all the Doctor Who comics, if they were ever going to collect the comics that were in Doctor Who Adventures. And he said that he doubted it, and when I happened to get a copy of Doctor Who Adventures and I read it, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see why he might not collect these, because there's no one who's probably going to buy it. I was a little disappointed that Doctor Who Insider, the new North American Doctor Who magazine, didn't have a comic in it.
How new are we talking?
The first issue came out last month.
Okay.
Or this month.
So it's not too late?
No. They
could
still
to
do
this
it.
Feedback.
But IDW is publishing current Doctor Who comics, written by Gary Russell and by Tony Lee.
Okay.
And they're published in the US and not in the UK.
Interesting.
So there is a line of Doctor Who comics published by a U.S. publisher for a U.S. market that are hard to get in the U.K.
It's kind of sad.
That's weird. Yeah.
It is kind of weird. The
so
first
can you bring them over there in suitcases and sell them.
You might be able
twice
to.
The cover price.
The first run featuring the 10th Doctor and Martha was written by Gary Russell. Then there were other ones featuring the 10th Doctor and I think Donna. And they finally moved into the 11th Doctor with the 11th Doctor comics have
Amy?
What's that?
Amy?
Amy and Rory
mm-hmm.
in them, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And those are written by Tom Lee. Really good. Really good comics.
Mm-hmm.
I have them, so I could lend them to you if you want to read them.
Yeah. So are those the only ones that you're collecting right now? Are you what do you collect?
I collect the Doctor Who comics.
So all of them.
Yeah.
So are there other? So is that the only one that's being made right now? Or
those
are
the
others?
Only standalone comics.
Okay.
There's still a comic strip that's being published in Doctor Who magazine.
Okay.
And those get collected every so often and released in collections,
sure.
either book or magazine form, as standalone collections.
Now, do you get that magazine? So you...
I do get that magazine.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well. I may.
Of course, that is a silly question.
If I may interject, I read a really great fan comic. I posted a review of it.
You did, yes.
On this website called The Ten Doctors. And it's huge. It's the.
I saw some of that. Yeah.
There are around 200 pages. And they're long pages. They're not just, you know, little strips.
Yeah.
They're long pages. And it's really well done, really well written. The guy who does it clearly loves Doctor Who, has seen
And it has
everybody
in it. Everybody
except for the 11th Doctor and Amy, because it was written and finished before.
Yes.
Before they started.
But every companion makes an appearance, I believe.
Every
villain.
As far as
appearance.
I know. And see, I don't even know that much classic Doctor Who. I've seen all of the current stuff. From, you know, 9 on. But before that, I've only seen clips on YouTube, and I've seen, like, 2 Tom Baker serials.
Okay.
But even with that, there was stuff I just didn't understand, people I didn't know who they were. It didn't matter, because
yeah,
the story
so
was
good.
Done well enough that, you know, I could sort of intuit what was going on, or I could look down in the comment section and, you know, somebody else will have asked the question that I already had, you know, and
mm-hmm.
there would be an answer there. And it got me, like, interested in some of the other doctors, and I thought, you know, I like number 2 now, and I like number 5, and I like Leela, and I like Jamie, you know. So, if you are a Doctor Who fan, I recommend checking that out, the 10 Doctors.
There's a link to it in
yeah.
our archives.
Yeah.
There's another
It does
doctor.
Take some time to read, though.
There's another Doctor Who comic that's out there,
mm-hmm.
Which is a different take on the Doctor Who universe.
Uh-huh.
It's called Torchwood Babies.
You know, I have seen that. I have seen that. It's
and
really cute.
It's very cute. It's kind of, you know, the cross between Muppet Babies,
yeah.
and you also have a little bit of kind of the Archie...
Little Archie
thing going on, where you have either Baby Jack or Baby Yanto being completely adored by the female characters and trying to tear.
No, it's Baby Doctor. Baby 10.
Is it Baby 10?
Yeah.
That's being... Yeah, okay. Baby
Everybody
10.
Loves Baby 10.
Everybody loves Baby 10. and I've met the creators of that.
Uh-huh.
They come to the conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very nice. They're very
uh-huh.
nice girls.
And Baby 10 only really cares about Rose.
Yeah.
And Baby Yanto is really, really cute. And is obsessed with Jack. But he carries around a little Cyberwoman doll.
Yes.
That he says is his girlfriend and is very protective of.
Mm-hmm. So I do recommend. We'll have to put a link to
that.
Torchwood
one is
Babies
really
well.
Cute, yeah.
Torchwood Babies.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else you want to know about the Doctor Who comics?
I don't know.
There's actually a Doctor Who comics podcast.
There is?
Yes. A podcast, a Doctor Who podcast that's devoted just to the comics.
Just to the official comics or to the web comics?
Any of the comics.
Any comics.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because there is enough comics
mm-hmm.
out there. You know, I'm doing my Doctor Who Everyday thing where I'm watching
mm-hmm.
The original series. Although I did not watch original series yesterday because I watched new series.
Right.
And I've decided that I'm going to do that. I'll take a break from the original series.
That's still Doctor
when
Who
I watch the new
during
series.
A day.
Yep, exactly. But
did you write... Your favorite quotes?
I haven't yet. I'm going to post those and backdate them. But I did watch it. I was with you guys. You know, I just need to catch up on the blog.
Yeah, so I mean,
and I need to write more on
the
blog
too.
For
a lot of people, this is probably the first introduction to that particular blog on Read Comics. I don't think the last post. So why don't you just say,
Doctor Who?
What that is. Yeah.
Okay, DoctorWhoEveryday.com. Essentially, what it is January 1st, I started watching Doctor Who from the beginning, An Unearthly Child, the November 23rd, 1963 episode. And I'm going to be watching every day until I get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like I said, you know, I took a break yesterday for
the
new episode. Mm-hmm. And the days that there is a new Doctor Who or new Torchwood,
mm-hmm.
I will be watching that in lieu of a classic episode. Mm-hmm. There was one day that I missed it just because I was studying for an exam and
mm-hmm.
just didn't have time. And I read a Doctor Who comic that day. But what I'm also doing is I'm taking quotes from it, and I'm trying to find quotes that are interesting or inspiring, not just your typical quote
mm-hmm.
From a particular episode, but especially something inspiring. And kind of it, the idea of it came to me as Doctor Who's meaning to life, or whatever meaning of life, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or how to live a better life through Doctor Who, something
mm-hmm.
along those lines. And it's kind of morphed a little bit
mm-hmm.
since then. And if I find a quote particularly interesting or ironic or something
mm-hmm.
like that, I'll post that.
Post it even though that's not...
Even though it's not an inspirational
yeah.
quote
right.
from Doctor Who.
Well,
it's
I'm not sure that the inspirational part really comes... I mean, it's not... That's not made clear on the website, so...
It's probably not.
Yeah.
I initially had also started trying to write a little bit about Doctor Who in my life each day, which hasn't happened that much.
There's some good posts on there. I kind of feel like it should be easier to find those versus the... Do you have categories? You should have categories.
I do have categories. I could go back through, take a day, go back through, and
just
be
tag,
better
yeah,
about
read,
tagging
read
categorize and
them all.
Categorizing and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I might do. But since we talked about comics a little bit, another thing that I was thinking about doing
mm-hmm.
was going back to the first comic, or first magazine.
That's cool.
And reading a Doctor Who comic every day as well.
Now, do you have all those back issues?
Yes. The entire run of Doctor Who magazine.
I had a feeling.
Easily accessible in your new place?
Yes. I did not pack those away. So I could go back to the first issue and start reading from the first issue a Doctor Who comic
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
And since it's in the magazine and it's just 4 or 5 pages,
right.
it's actually something that's very easy to do.
What Doctor are you on at the moment?
The second Doctor.
Second Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So you've gotten all the way through the first
All the way through William Hartnell, and I'm almost all the, I'm in the last season of Patrick Troughton right now.
Wow.
So
how many seasons were they? Of both. Of the first
three
one.
Each.
Three each. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because I kind of always assumed that they were longer running in those early days.
Well,
but
weren't there more,
well,
more episodes per season?
There were.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was three seasons, but it ran almost year round.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Like and every day, right?
Well, and in theory, this year, you know, they're doing Doctor Who, they're doing 7 episodes, and taking a break. And then
doing
6 episodes. So it's still 13 episodes, but they're not 13
mm-hmm.
episodes in
Sweet.
A row.
Yeah.
And what we were going to get was we were going to get the 7 episodes, maybe a 2 or 3 week break. Then Torchwood was going to start up. And then Torchwood finish, and then we get a 2 or 3 week break. And then Sarah Jane Adventures was going to start up again.
Yeah.
Nobody knows quite what's going to happen
yeah.
with that since
Which,
Elizabeth Sladen died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do they have anything in the can for next
Well, they did film 3 stories, so 6 episodes. But are they going to air those? Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that they
I
do
would,
get released somehow.
Yeah, I would think they would. At least, you know, some kind of tribute or...
And then...
You know, she worked on them. And they
after that, married. Then yeah. you'd have the next group
mm-hmm.
of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Or it might have been Doctor Who, and then Sarah Jane was going to air after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by that time, it would almost be time for the Christmas special. So we would have Doctor Who or Doctor Who related almost every week. from Easter throughout the rest of the year, which is the first time it's been like that since the 60s.
Right. Yeah. But not anymore.
So that's including the Torchwood schedule on what, Stars?
On Stars, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think that is supposed to be a simultaneous BBC and Stars together.
Right, this is the first year for that, right? So, like, before, Doctor Who's always been delayed in the US.
About a week, yeah.
Yeah.
At least a week. At the very least a week, sometimes.
Well, the first,
far more.
You know,
and then, the Christmas special, I think it was only delayed a day.
No, this year it actually was the same.
Oh, you're
same
right.
Day.
It was the same day.
Yeah.
There was another special then, or something else. Maybe
and
I'm thinking even further back
like
than
end
that.
Of time, I think those got pushed back a day or so.
But yeah, now BBC and BBC America are showing each episode the same day.
Mm-hmm. Most likely to
battle piracy,
battle,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, and
so
I mean,
guess,
other countries are not as lucky as we are.
No.
Like, I don't think Australia is getting it the same day. Canada may or may not be getting it the same day.
Mm.
So.
And you had said that you're excited about an app that's coming out. There's
the iPlayer app. None of this is related to comics, of course. But the iPlayer app is an app for going to be for, well, pretty much not just iPad or anything like that. It's, I think you should be able to get it
like for your computer,
for
too.
Your computer as well.
Okay.
And what
so
it is,
kinda,
the BBC has a program called the iPlayer through their website,
mm-hmm.
where you can watch shows and archive shows, thousands of hours of television.
Now, is
through their site.
Is it how?
But you have to have
comprehensive. Is it like every archive episode, or is it like Netflix?
You know,
where
that's
who
the thing.
Knows
I don't know.
There?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I mean, technically, in the UK, you are paying for it because you're paying your license fee.
Right. But I mean, they could argue that yeah, you're paying for it, but you're not. You still don't get all these archives or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows.
So I don't know what all is available on the iPlayer in the UK, but to get it right now, you have to have a UK IP address.
Mm-hmm. And that's not legal, right? I mean, like, that's not, you're not actually paying for it, you're just pretending, right?
What do you mean?
Well, if you have a UK IP address, you're, like, scamming the system, right? Like, you're...
Well, no, I'm talking about if you live in the UK, you have a UK IP address, you are thus paying your license fee, and you have
okay.
access to this.
I'm
talking
yes,
about
okay.
actual... Yeah.
Okay.
There are restraints in the...
Right, but, like, you don't...
Yes,
there's no way for you to just pay for it, is what I'm saying. Like,
no.
Outside of the...
Outside
of the
UK, you cannot pay for it and
right.
get it because you need the IP address.
And that will change.
It will
They're
change
gonna...
when the international iPlayer app goes on the market. Anywhere in the world, you should be able to buy this. Well, I say anywhere in the world. You might have trouble in China. I don't know.
Right, who knows?
Any place where you have...
In the US,
was it?
In the U.S. anyway.
In the U.S., you'll be able to buy this iPlayer app. And what I'm currently hearing is that it's going to be less than $10 a month, which is about half of what the license fee is for television in England. So, for less than $10 a month, you can basically get everything that you can get through the iPlayer here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that includes, you know, simulcast things. Like if this app comes out at Christmas, before Christmas, you can watch the episode of Doctor Who when it airs in GMT, which will be hours before it airs on BBC America. If you want to, if you can't
yeah,
wait that
if
long.
If you really can't.
And it won't have commercials.
Which is a nice...
Because BBC America has commercial breaks.
Yes.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Does that mean all the episodes are edited then?
Some
they're
of them.
Edited for commercials. Most, generally speaking, they're not for time. Sci-Fi was editing some
yeah.
of them for time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
BBC America, from what I understand, is not editing them for time.
Sort of. At least when the end of 10's run. I'm not sure what they're doing with 11. But at the end of 10's run, they would air unedited for time episodes... Like, the very first run, They would, and this was true of Torchwood also, they would run the full episode,
uh-huh.
you know, with commercial breaks, but the full episode.
Yeah.
Then the rerun of it in, you know, 2 hours later, that would be edited down to,
whoa.
To fit the 1 hour font. I found that out one day when Torchwood Children of Earth was going on, and my DVR, like, cut out on the second episode or so. And so I got the first 15 minutes of the second episode, and then it was gone. I was like, okay, well, I'll just get the rerun. And then when I, you know, started watching the rerun, once it recorded, I realized the first 15 minutes and the second episode of that one didn't match up to the one I had
wow.
seen in the original. And I was, like, yeah, I was
yeah,
a little upset.
A little upset about that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, then you can always wait for the DVD
yep.
as well.
And Netflix
and
does
how are you doing, Marty, today? Because, I mean, you were probably pretty pissed off last night when the episode came to an end and it was a cliffhanger.
I hate the cliffhangers. But I am kind of resigned to it. I think, like, what's his name? The
Stephen Moffat?
Yeah, Stephen Moffat.
He likes
I mean, yeah, he's just that. I already know that this whole series, you know, this whole
mm-hmm.
season is just going to be one giant cliffhanger.
Episode 7
yeah.
is going to be a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Of course,
which then
is.
You have to wait until it comes. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a break.
Some part of me would like to just wait until they're all done and watch them all in one afternoon,
yeah.
and then, you know. But at the same time, I know everyone else is going to be talking about it. Everybody's going to want to watch it. You know, and I want to watch it with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, stupid. Cliffhangers are dumb.
Yeah. Okay, so that should probably, we'll put Doctor Who to bed for the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And talk well, about comics. Yeah. So, I during my visit here, I got to read a whole lot of The Unwritten, which catch up on that. And I really, really like that comic. I think it is pretty awesome. It's funny that I'm also reading Lev Grossman's The Magicians,
oh,
and there's
yeah.
Some serious Harry Potter overtones to both of those.
Yep.
And possibly I'm not that far in The Magicians, but there's also some possibly metafiction stuff going on. So it was interesting to see
Narnia
yeah,
The Magicians
mm-hmm,
as well.
See them match up. But yeah, the art in that is gorgeous, and the story is really intriguing. One whole issue was done like a choose your own adventure.
Oh, really?
Where you could actually... I didn't read it like it. Like if you choose to read the story through.
I haven't gotten to that part yet.
I haven't read... I didn't read it like that. I read it just chronological page. And that was interesting in itself, trying to match up... Well, this one matches back to the scene that I read back there. This actually comes before that scene that I read before. So that was very interesting and cool. I really, really highly recommend The Unwritten. And I also got to read the first 6 issues recently of Lock and Key. And I had been hearing really good things about it, but I just hadn't read it.
Lock
probably,
and Key is incredible.
Yeah, probably because it was a horror comic. And I have this kind of mental block, like, I don't read horror comics, I don't like horror movies. And yet, if you give me something scary but don't call it horror, I'll love it. I'll love things like Jonathan Carroll, Pan's Labyrinth, that's horror, and yet it was presented to me as like kind of like a fairy tale, but creepy and blah blah blah. So yeah, if you
fairy tales are kind of creepy.
Yeah, if you sort of present something to me but don't call it horror, and then suddenly it's scary, I'll love it. But if you say, well, this is a horror movie, I'm like, I don't want to see that. This is a horror comic. I don't want to read that. I've not read any Stephen King ever, not
yeah.
even his non-scary stuff. And I bring that up because Joe Hill, who writes Lock and Key, is Stephen King's son, and he's good. He clearly learned a lot from his dad. Well, I don't know. Maybe Stephen King sucks. I haven't read any, but probably not.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Lock and Key is really, really good, and I'm glad I gave it a chance, and I want to find out what happens next. And I also read the first 6 issues of The Umbrella Academy. and I thought that was also good, although I wasn't as sucked into that one.
I read the first trade or two of the Umbrella Academy. Everyone made a huge deal about it, of course, because of the writer, whose name is escaping me, but he's part of My Chemical Romance, I think.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, the artist I know, I think, is Gabriel Ba.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I can't remember who the writer is. And it's very creative and very clever, but
it's
not something
clever,
that I
maybe.
felt like I needed to read anymore. Although I'm glad I did give it a chance because I had sort of written it off. I read a Free Comic Day issue of it, and I don't know what was going on in the Free Comic Day, but it made absolutely no sense. I thought it was kind of dumb. I thought, like, they were trying too hard. I'm not sure what was wrong with that Free Comic Day issue because it's far more straightforward than it appeared in that one issue, but
there's
still kind
of
clever
of
and interesting.
Timey-wimey stuff.
And it feels like it fits very well into like the Hellboy universe to me.
Sure, yeah.
There's just enough surrealness that, yeah.
Yeah. To go back to Lock and Key a little bit, as you said, it's a horror comic, but it's not really a horror comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's more creepy and sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Than
well,
a horror
I mean, there is,
but there's
murder
not,
going on.
There
is
murder.
There is some strange elements of like there's doors that lead to weird places, and there's a sinister.
The whole thing with the keys is just fascinating.
There's a sinister force that's manipulating things. It's horror, but it's also a really good story.
And it has the trades have descriptions of the keys and diaries of it talks about how the keys were made, and it has maps of the grounds and stuff like that, and I just eat that kind of stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm gonna probably get the next trade if I can from the library.
It's almost kind of like a little modern Lovecraft type of thing.
I've not read any Lovecraft again. Horror, no.
Yeah.
So I just don't know.
Okay.
But I liked it, and I'm glad I gave it a chance.
Florence, would you like to share anything?
Well, your conversation sounded interesting from afar while I was taking my turn with baby nighttime. So I didn't hear enough of it to be able to usefully jump in. But the other rant I was going to fit in this podcast...
You're going to rant?
...was
all
about
right.
the Wonder Woman TV show.
There we go.
Every clip I read about it just makes me more angry and full of despair.
I really hope it crashes and burns quickly, and so
yes.
We don't have to suffer through it.
I mean, there's so many really worthy shows that crash and burn before anyone ever sees an episode. I'm hoping this could be an example.
I'm afraid that this is going to be high profile enough that people are going to tune in... That there are people that like David E. Kelly. There are people who will watch his shows.
Well, in fact, his most recent one, Harry's Law, with...
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know. Is that doing well?
Apparently it is.
So,
even though, I mean, which is starring...
Kathy Bates,
who I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of her anchoring a TV show. And I have not subjected myself to an episode of that particular TV show, and
yeah.
I heard nothing but terrible
My
reviews.
Fear is that... People who don't know Wonder Woman that well, but who like David E. Kelly and just recognize the name are going to watch it and like, this is awesome. Let's watch more of this. Boobs. Yay. And it's so bad.
So all these rumors went around about the initial pilot leak.
Wait, there's been
script.
An initial pilot? Oh, the script.
Script of the pilot.
The script hasn't been leaked itself, but people have read it and then mentioned
it. Right. So
okay.
The script is leaked to someone, or several someones, and they have released
read
the
it
descriptions
and
reviews.
Yeah.
And
the reviews are
well. So the first,
frightening.
Right, the first impression we've gotten from several people who claim to see it is that... This is a Wonder Woman who will cry herself to sleep about a boy, and who has three identities, which just seems like bizarre and unnecessarily complicated and not linked to the the comic story.
So there's the Wonder Woman identity, and there's two separate Diana identities.
Right, one is a CEO who's trading in on the Wonder Woman as a superhero celebrity, and the other is a meek. Mousy assistant who works for the same company.
Huh.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
And it's unclear if she's still an Amazon princess. It's unclear.
There is still a Themyscira, but.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so then the latest thing that I've read today is that they've been doing rewrites to the pilot script. So now her motivation is vengeance, and she just kicks ass a lot more. And one of the examples being road rage. One, like, Diana with some asshole on the road, that an some kind of thing that escalates from obscene gestures mutually to her lifting him up by his throat.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one of the few superheroes where, like, peace is a big freaking deal.
And honor
and
respect.
Why did it get taken away from Joss?
Oh. Yeah.
Not that I would say absolutely that Joss would have written
but
it,
of
and
the
it would
people,
have been awesome.
Yeah, but of the people who
as far as I know, he hasn't written any Wonder Woman before. So,
right.
Who knows? I mean, there have been a lot of good comic writers who have taken on Wonder Woman and just not really... I mean, Gail Simone's run on Wonder Woman...
I thought
was
really good.
Was good, but I think she did a lot better with Birds of Prey.
Yes.
I agree. I liked Birds of Prey a lot better, but I thought her Wonder Woman run was very good.
Yeah.
I thought it had it ups and downs.
And I thought it really had a good definition and
yes.
Of Diana and who she is and how she operates. And
that
she's very
with.
Intelligent. She's very... she doesn't use violence willy-nilly. That's not her
as
first...
As opposed to Greg Rucka writing Wonder Woman.
Really? See, I have not read his.
I think he was the one who wrote Wonder Woman killing...
Oh, is he the one who had her kill the dude?
Which
has had
Max,
big consequences.
Yeah,
on
and it has, actually, yes.
But yeah, it's not that she doesn't fight, it's not that she isn't a warrior, it's not that she isn't very, very good warrior and can kick ass, it's that she chooses, if she can, not to.
Yeah.
If there's any other way.
And maybe it's me being heavily influenced by Gail Simone's run, because that's right my current vision of Wonder Woman, but there are so many instances on that run in different arcs and with different enemies and confrontations where she just... like, used respect to defuse the situation, and used her ability to calmly listen to an opponent to kind of frame the situation in a way that no other hero in that story
mm-hmm.
would. Like, that was something that was really special.
Would you say that she was able to win a fight with love?
I was just thinking that too. Right, I mean, she never just batted her eyelashes.
No.
I probably screwed up the lyric, but that's part of the Wonder Woman theme song.
Is it?
No, it is, yeah.
But all I remember is the Wonder Woman part.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just upsets me so much that we are going to see a crying thug. And call her Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and they did choose a good actress. They
mm-hmm.
they cast a good
actress.
Yes,
yeah.
And we've seen her in other things. She's really, I think she's actually very talented and very compelling. And she actually isn't a tiny twig. You know, she's kind of she's not enormous, but
she's not short. But she's pretty.
She's thin, but she doesn't look frail.
Okay,
which is something that happens with
it's tough
tiny actresses.
We're all going to be comparing. Her to Linda Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like the original Wonder Woman series. It's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you go back and watch it, and it's...
I'm kind of afraid to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it holds up as well as we'd all love it to.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I really like the Wonder Woman that has appeared in the cartoons. As far as televised...
Justice League
or Super Friends or, any of the iterations that has come out. I love Super Friends as a kid, flying in her invisible jet and stuff. But, I think that version of Wonder Woman was handled really well on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now have you guys seen the Wonder Woman teaser pilot, that is very much in the style of the 60s Batman series?
Yes. Oh my God. That's bad in its own right.
I would almost prefer that to the David
Kelly,
though.
Would too, just because it's so clearly misguided and but kind of fun and not even trying to be the comic.
She cracks
yeah.
a mirror when she looks in it.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
It
really
is. It definitely
is.
Was styled after the 60s.
It was
Batman
trying
series.
To be sort of a Wonder Woman as Bewitched, but even less like empowered for the female character. It's not good. It's not good.
But it's worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see if we can find it
yeah.
on YouTube and link to it.
Anyway, so yes, and then there's the whole costume debacle. They released a picture of the costume, mm. and it doesn't fit well. It looks really, really cheap.
Right, it looks like a Halloween costume.
Yes. And it's just molded plastic instead of, you know, it doesn't even look like the metal on her. Yeah.
Like a breastplate.
I mean, Xena,
yeah.
15 years ago, convincingly...
With a much lower budget.
Yeah, convincingly did a metal breastplate that looked like, you know, I mean, it didn't look like it was going to stop any weapons, but it was there, and it looked real. And I mean, Princess Leia wore a metal bikini 30 years ago, and it looked like a metal bikini. This looks like plastic.
Yes,
this looks like plastic. And
what do we
know
about the budget for the series?
That I don't know. Mm. And they since then, there's been a second set of pictures where her actually in action, and they changed its pants instead of a bikini.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, that's fine. And the pants in the original picture were incredibly shiny vinyl, and now they're not. They're like a breathable material. That's good, but everything else is pretty much the same. Cheap, and the bodice is cheap. Shiny vinyl,
yeah.
and it doesn't fit, and it wrinkles, and her boobs are about to pop out when she runs. Yeah, so there's lots of things wrong.
Oh yeah,
there's lots of stuff wrong with this whole project, and I really just want it to go away quietly.
Yeah,
and not.
Oh, well, it'll probably go away, but it won't be quiet.
Yeah, see, I'm so like I'm afraid that it is going to be given at least 12 episodes.
What offends me is that so many things we love don't get that kind of luxury, you know, and that this is, in the hands of someone who is just not a good fit.
On the other hand, there is one I already wrote about on the site, not for this coming season, but probably the following, a.k.a. Jessica Jones.
Oh,
really?
Based on the Alias comic.
Oh.
And Brian Michael Bendis is a consultant. He's not, and maybe a producer, but he's not the writer or showrunner.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
It looks a little more
to write
like I have my doubts. I already wrote all about that, but it looks a little more more. It's hard not to look more promising than the Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Well, you can have Alias without as much superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's still going to be an ex-superhero, but she's probably not going to be in the Marvel Universe because they're probably not going to license Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four just to be used on this network show.
Well, I mean, one thing I really love about that show, or about that comic, is that, you know, the superhero stuff is in the background.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the forefront of the story.
Have you read Gotham Central?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah,
that's
similar.
Very good.
Yeah,
yeah it's kind of like that, where it's a... crime comic set in a universe that has superheroes, but it's not a focus on them.
Right.
And of course, you know, since then, all the characters in Gotham Central
became,
have become superheroes.
Yeah, Renee is the Question, and what's his name is the Phantom.
Well,
the Spectre.
The Spectre.
And
Batwoman came out of that, too.
Batwoman kind of.
She didn't.
Well,
they have the same creators, I think?
Yeah. She wasn't in Gotham Central, but she is part of Renee's history.
Oh, yeah?
And
were they exes?
They're exes, yeah.
Okay.
What was the other one I was going to bring up that's along those lines? Dakota North.
Oh,
who,
I read that.
She had her own series
mm-hmm.
back in the 80s or 90s where she was a private eye in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then she made a reappearance in Daredevil comics.
Yeah, she's now
and
sort of his girlfriend, kind of.
Oh, did
they slept together once, and then I sort of stopped reading at that point just because I was getting burned out on it.
But I love her as a character. Not as much back in the 80s when she had her comic, but now.
Well, she was sort of supermodel / detective / superhero.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Never really superheroes.
But
she never had superpowers.
Oh, no superhero? Okay.
No.
But they, they kind of use that to their advantage in this current incarnation of, like, yeah, I did have that past where I was a model.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, there's been other characters that have had that going on as well. But I really like this where you have the focus on the non-superhero,
well,
super-powered characters.
Uh-huh.
And
then
the
with the other stuff going on, that's kind of the conceit, the entire conceit of Astro City, almost.
Right,
yeah,
for sure.
Where,
yep.
Like, people in a world where there are superheroes, not necessarily the superheroes are the story. Although,
you know,
sometimes they are in Astro City.
You had your rant about Wonder Woman. I feel like we could save this and do it on another podcast so that we get together and record again, but since we're ranting. So, something that has changed in reading comics, and I hate that I think this now, is there are all the comics that have come out recently, like Kick-Ass and Wanted, and especially, what's the one where the heroes have taken over, or maybe Kingdom Come, but all of these kind of like superhero apocalypse type of comics. Where
is Kick-Ass a superhero apocalypse?
No, not really. But it's the whole deconstructing the superhero, and especially in ways where the superhero, because you live in a world with superheroes, it has ruin your life. I know what it is. The Boys. Boys.
Yeah.
I started to think
I've
the
read
Boys,
like
actually,
one issue of
talking.
That, and yeah, totally.
Where basically the superheroes are not good people.
Yeah.
They're people who have way too much power, no responsibility. They have become gods. They don't care about regular people. And now it's really hard for me to read a mainstream superhero comic, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman.
Just straightforward. Good
straightforward superheroes.
You keep looking for the ulterior motives.
Well, it's not that I keep looking for the ulterior motives.
Do you think
but
about
anytime
that
there's
the
a battle in Times Square and a car gets flipped over, now I keep thinking about the property damage and all that kind of stuff.
And
it's all because of comics like The Boys and Kingdom Come.
The person who's next in a brace for, the next 6 months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I hate that these comics have put me in this mindset where, and the Marvel and DC comics have touched on it a little bit in terms of the Civil War.
Right.
In Marvel,
where
the superheroes had to be registered because of
right.
the property
too much
damage,
power
and there's no trust and
yep.
things like that. There's another comic that I started reading, Irredeemable, which is basically
a
Superman character
who goes nuts
and starts killing people because he's an alien and he's lost his ability to
empathize with humanity.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it even just sort of start with like one person in a crowd? He can hear everybody in the crowd. He saved the day, but he hears one person in the crowd sort of like show off.
And it's just stuff like that. And eventually it gets to him and he goes,
I totally want to read that.
Crazy. And,
I really do want to read
and
that.
And the rest of the
like,
superheroes have to take him down because he like has killed a country.
He's destroying the world. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really do want to
and
read
again,
that.
And again, it's just these.
But very cynical.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a cynical view of superhero
well,
comics.
Well, I mean,
that has...
we know what started that, though. It was Watchmen.
Yeah.
Watchmen was sort of the first...
Alan Moore, it's all your fault!
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I actually just finished reading all of the Boys through the either 7th or 8th trade. I forget whatever the latest one is. I think it's just 7. I don't know. I mean, on some level, it's juvenile and stupid and, really not a great story. But on the other, there's other levels where I think it succeeds. And
and that's the problem is that I like these comics
readable.
Too.
Yeah.
They're well done.
I like Kingdom Come. I like The Watchmen.
I love Kingdom Come.
The Boys.
Right, sure.
I like Irredeemable. I like them as comics. They're
well
written,
but
they've poisoned my mind.
You can no longer suspend some kind of disbelief.
Yeah.
It's not really disbelief. It's like,
they've changed your view.
Every time, you know, Spider-Man punches a guy through a wall, I start thinking about the people on the other side of that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically because of what happens in the very first issue of The Boys, where Huey is out with his girlfriend, who gets killed because a superhero punches a bad guy through her.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then Huey is left holding her severed hands.
Yeah. it's horrific.
I've read that first issue, and I remember that, yeah.
It's very compelling.
That's funny, I mean, because, like, at the time, you're kind of trying to figure out, like, should I be laughing right now? You know, is this supposed to be funny?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, you know, and you don't really... I don't know. I mean, I think the whole comic feels like that. Like, you know, it's skirting around these issues that are super fucking heavy and serious, and yet at the same time, it's
being really,
you know,
kind of
it's
slapsticky.
Like, yeah, it's slapstick and it's
well, it's slapstick and it's porn even.
Yeah.
To
oh
yeah,
for sure.
Boy.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of, you know, glorifying of the same stuff.
This really,
like,
doesn't have anything to do with the content, but it kind of bugged me. I did read the first issue, and I couldn't get past the fact that, I guess it's Huey, looks exactly like Simon Pegg.
Totally, and he was actually, he was modeled after him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was. In fact, Simon Pegg wrote a intro to one of the trades.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
for sure. What was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, I do really feel like, you know, it deals... like intensely, like, I mean, throughout the series, like over and over again, with the issue of you know, molestation, like child molestation, and, you know, over and over again, it really doesn't feel like, I mean, yes, it's definitely called out as being wrong in the comic, but it doesn't feel like it's making that point.
Well, there's a,
you know?
that's sort of a thing sometimes with Warren Ellis and with some other creators.
This is
where
Garth
they
Ennis.
Oh, this is Garth Ennis?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll skim him as well.
Yeah.
that they kind of just glory in taboo,
yeah.
And they kind of go to the point where
they're no longer
really trying to tell a story, where they're just like, this is going to creep people out. This is going to make somebody uncomfortable. Nobody else gets to do this, but I do. You know, I sometimes feel like, okay, enough, tell us a story.
Yep.
It's kind of the Trey and Matt of comics,
mm-hmm.
where I think when Trey and Matt have
when they're on South Park,
when they have an episode like the
Mormon one, is that what you're talking about?
The Mormon
yeah.
one, yes.
The Scientology one. When they have something to say, when they have a social issue they want to talk about and they want to expose some hypocrisy, they're good.
They're really good.
And they're funny.
And then they have the
issues
ones,
where it's just like,
let's find that line and let's catapult over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I feel like the difference is that their skill, their crafting is so much.
No, who are you talking about?
Matt and Trey, or if that's even.
That's their names.
Matt Parker,
you
know, Trey Stone.
Yes, thank you.
Or is it Matt Stone and Trey Parker?
Yes, I think it's that. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, the point is that I feel like they are at the height. You know, they're like the epitome of humor.
They are good at satire.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are really,
Whereas
really
I,
good at satire.
I don't think that The Boys or Garth Ennis even really succeeds at the height. You know, they're not making like some of the best comics in existence. You know?
But I think they are capable of telling really good stories when they want to.
Yeah,
right.
But there are times when all they want to do is kind of shock you and gross you out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Sure.
And some people are going to like that, and I'm just not one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're also sought after enough that the sheer volume of comics that they're asked to write, probably not in proportion to the number of really good stories they have to tell.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They probably like just having that outlet where they can do just some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Well, and as far as The Boys go, The Boys was initially a Wildstorm comic
mm-hmm.
in DC, and DC is like, yeah, maybe a little much for
mm-hmm.
even our Wildstorm imprint.
Mm-hmm.
So we're letting you take that someplace else, and it ended up with Dynamite, where Garth was able to do just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, do we want to say anything else here?
I don't know. We're
it's
at an hour and 15,
yeah.
So I think we're
yeah.
probably good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I'm glad
right.
we did it.
We're
and
glad we're back, and hopefully
yeah.
it won't be quite such a long break next time.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. But,
well,
yeah.
you know, we could just get together and talk about comics.
That's what I'm
yeah.
thinking. It doesn't have to be book club. For a while
mm-hmm.
there, it was easier to do book club, but
and
now I think...
Let's say, not
just,
say we won't ever do book club again,
mm-hmm.
but... Yeah, we can take a break for a while and just,
yeah.
yeah.
Just jabber about comics.
It's not like we don't have things to say.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
And we all are continuing to read
yeah.
comics. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep.
We'll be back soon.
Bye.
Bye.